Okay, thank you, Mike. God bless you. And I wanna look into some other things also, and we will be looking into this in more detail again too. But everything that Mike has shared in the Word is, I agree with. Okay, we understand the Word in the same manner. One of the things that we were looking at in this rapture doctrine, what did I do? I put 10 points or something that they believe. One of their beliefs has to be that the earth will be destroyed. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? Yeah, you're okay. So I want to look into the Word of God about the earth being destroyed. The rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, of course, is that all the believers have to be removed from the earth. And then what God is going to do is called the old scorched earth doctrine. The earth is going to be nuked. It's going to be nothing left of it but a pile of nuclear ash or whatever it is. And then, of course, God will have to recreate and start all over with Genesis chapter 1 and recreate a new heaven and a new earth and all that. It's, as Mike said, it's a complete misunderstanding in the natural realm, in the carnal realm, of what the Bible is saying. In other words, we need to have a spiritual understanding. The Word of God, in particular the prophetic Word, is a spiritual Word, and we need to see it on the highest level that we can comprehend. So let me look into Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, and it's going to be the last verse in the whole book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66, and it will be verse 22. Okay? Start at verse 22, yes. It says, For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now, when the Lord uses the term heaven and earth, the term earth does not necessarily mean the soil, the rocks, the sea, the natural sea, the water. This is not what the Lord means when he says earth. Sometimes, but not always. The heaven is not, the heavens is a spiritual realm, okay? You can see in chapter 12 of Revelation that the red dragon showed up in heaven. Now that is not the heaven, the throne of God, heaven. All right, it's a spiritual place, and it includes the souls of men. So when God says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, he's talking about a spiritual realm where darkness does not dwell, where the devil does not have any access, amen, where the souls of men have been shut off and cannot receive the continual bombardment from the demons of hell. Okay? So he's talking here in Isaiah, these last few verses. It says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, in other words, from month to month and from week to week, amen, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So the Lord is going to continue to have us come before him in worship, but it also says that all flesh, so there's going to be flesh on this earth, okay? There will be human beings, and there will be a continual generations will continue to grow and multiply on the earth. your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. It's going to continue on and on forever. It says, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. So after this tribulation has had its time, it says here that those who are of the Lord will look upon the carcasses, the dead men, the dead works, the dead everything, including that have transgressed against me, and for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now, I don't know exactly how that's going to work out, but somehow we're going to have some evidence of how do I say it? I hate to say a museum. I hate some kind of an awareness of what God has destroyed. It's not going to have any power over us anymore, but there will be a continuing reminder as looking at the dead carcasses. And he's saying here, he's using spiritual language, their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched. Now, how much of an awareness of hell are we going to have? I do not know. But somehow we're going to have a knowledge of this is what happened to those who fought against the kingdom of God. It's going to be there. I don't know how. I can't understand it. But we will worship. All right, let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we'll go back to the books of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And there's a nice little verse here that I'd like to pick out. And this is going to be verse 40. It says here, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day. This is Moses speaking to the people. That it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Does that word forever mean forever? Does it mean eternal? It means yes. So that it may prolong thy days, so thy generations, even your seed, forever. Let me take you to Psalms now. One of the verses in Psalms, two of them, in fact, chapter 78. Chapter 78 in Psalms. Sorry, taking me a little while to get there. Here we are. Psalm 78, and it's going to be verse 65. Okay. Psalm 78, 65. Okay, I'll pick up a few verses. It says, and the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that showeth by reason of, that shouteth by reason of wine. So here we have the stirring up of the Lord. You know, remember the verse in Matthew, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door. David apparently saw something very similar. Pardon? In Luke, I'm sorry. Yes, that's in Luke. Okay? It says, and then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep. Now we know the Lord isn't sleeping, but we know he hasn't stirred himself up either to take a certain action. So he's going to be stirred up, and it says he's going to shout like a man who has had wine. In other words, he's going to give a mighty shout, and it's going to be a tremendous thing. Okay, let's move on. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to the perpetual reproach. A perpetual reproach means a reproach that continues and goes on, and we will know and we will remember the reproach that has taken the enemy. He says he smote them in the hinder parts. That means they're on the run. They're running away from him, and he's coming up behind them to smite them even more. Okay? Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. This is spiritual language again, brethren. Amen? And he built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth, which he hath established forever. There's the key here. Like the earth, which he established forever. Amen? He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheep folds. Hallelujah. Let me look in Psalm 104. The earth remains forever here. Okay? Psalm 104. And we'll take it to verse... we're going to look at verse 5, but I want to start in the first verse because there's a lot of good verses here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who lays the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Amen. Did you catch that? He laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Now, it may be shaken. The carnal realm is shaken. But the natural earth is going to remain here, brethren. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood upon the mountains. Amen. We're talking about the days when the whole earth was flooded with water. Stood upon the mountains. Amen. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up to the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they may not turn again to cover the earth. Brethren, how many of you know that God is in charge of this earth? Doesn't this talk of his total control? Amen? Brethren, driving cars that burn gasoline and diesel fuel and what have you, we're not going to destroy this earth, brethren. The earth has a way of recovering, and God is in charge of it, brethren. Hallelujah. I know the plan of the New World Order people, the globalists. They want us all to be on electricity and solar panels. I have nothing against solar panels. I have nothing against windmills, brethren. But we are not going to be capable of destroying the earth, neither is man going to be allowed to destroy it in any manner of warfare. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be nuclear exchange or anything like that. Men have done terrible things, but God is not going to allow this earth to be destroyed. Let me look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. Which will be right here after Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. It's a little one and hard to find here. There we are. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And it's going to be verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Now, he's talking here also about the natural earth, the created earth, the earth, the land that we live on. It's going to remain here forever, okay? And finally, let me go over on this subject to Revelation chapter 20. And you're very well familiar with this part of Revelation. Chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, what are we living and reigning with Christ over? Not a big pile of nuclear ash, okay? Who would want to reign over something that is totally devoid of life and vegetation? And I mean, you've seen these pictures that the astronomers are taking now of Pluto and Mars and these moons and things out there. What do they look like? Totally dead. No life whatsoever. No, the earth is not going to become anything like that, brethren. And by the way, I'm not saying that God doesn't have other earths out there or other places. I don't know what's out there. There are millions of things out there. And when the Word of God says forever and ever, modern man is saying, well, there's too much population for this earth. They have to cut down the population. And by the way, that is one of their goals. They want to severely reduce. They've made no bones about that. They made it very clear that they intend to reduce this earth's population. They say, well, this earth can't take all these people. You know, the funny thing is, what are we up to now? About 7 billion people? And I remember, they were saying this way back in the 60s, when we had, what, 2 or 3 billion? And now they said, no, we can't produce, there's not enough food, there's not enough this, there's not enough oxygen, there's not enough water. Well, somehow here we are. We're still here. Crops are still being produced. There's still cows here on this earth that are polluting the atmosphere, everything else. Amen. God is in charge, and brethren, He has created this earth. He has set the foundations. He controls the oceans, that they can only come to a certain boundary, and they can't go up on the mountains anymore. Come on, put our faith in God, brethren. Now, I'm not going to try to destroy this earth with anything. Saddam Hussein? No, yeah. He had that scorched earth policy. Remember what he did in Kuwait when the troops came in and began to take over Kuwait? He set all the oil wells on fire. And this was his idea of scorched earth. If I can't have it, nobody will. Well, you know what? Some of these expert oil well guys from Texas came in with their explosive devices, and they put all those fires out. Did it affect the earth forever and continually? No, the earth recovered from all that. You see these, you remember Mount St. Helens? How many of you remember Mount St. Helens? Are you guys too young to remember Mount St. Helens? When it blew up? What year was that? Mike, what year was that? Mount St. Helens. Okay, it doesn't matter. Mount St. Helens polluted this planet so bad that I guess some of the airplanes had to be diverted for a while. But you know what? It all settled down. I'm giving you some of these worst case scenarios. Remember when the volcano in Iceland was erupting, the airplanes that were trying to come in and land in England, had to make a circuitous route in order to land in England because of all the ash that was in the air. You know what? It all settled down. Everything is back again to normal. So, yes, I make my point. The earth remaineth. Can I get into another? Do I have time to get into another subject here a little bit? I want to talk about the... we've got one more place to go. We've got 2 Peter. And 2 Peter is going to take us a little time. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, I am sure, Mike, I am sure that your rapture people also love this passage in 2 Peter. Because this understanding this in a carnal understanding, okay, in a carnal reading, also tells you, scorched earth, you know, all the saints have to be somewhere else because we can never endure what Peter is talking about here of the elements melting with a fervent heat. Oh, this is surely total nuclear war. The whole earth has been contaminated by nuclear subparticles or whatever they are. Nobody can ever live here again. It's going to take 400 years or 1,000 years for all this nuclear thing to break down and be safe for humans again. All right, let's look at what 2 Peter says and understand what the meaning of this is. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start in... Let me start in verse... let me start in verse 3, okay? He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Scoffers. People who say, no, the day of the Lord is never going to come. It's going to just go on. So we have another crowd, too. We have those who say we're all going to have to be removed, and then we have the people of the world that say, well, it's never going to happen. Nothing will ever happen. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, they don't even acknowledge the beginning of creation anymore, some of them. Okay? For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, you could ask the question here, and you might very well ask that question, what is he referring to here? Is he referring to the flood of Noah? Or is he referring to Genesis, the first chapter? Where it says, and the earth was without form and void, and water covered the face of the deep. Well, let's assume that he's referring to the first chapter of Genesis here. Okay? Let's go on. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Okay? Now that could be Noah as well. Okay? But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. In other words, what does it mean, kept in store? Again, it says God is in control. Kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, we've had a lot of teaching in the past about what is the meaning of judgment by fire. Okay? Judgment by fire does not necessarily mean literal fire. Okay? Yeah, we know that we can go through literal fire as well. The three Hebrew brethren, they were put in the furnace that was heated, seven times hotter, which... is really impossible in the natural. I mean, they could not. What does it take to smelt copper, what is it, 4,000 degrees or something like that? They could not heat that thing seven times that. Okay? It's a figure of speech. It means as hot as it could possibly be. And they went in there in the flesh, listen to me, in the flesh, and they were not scorched, there was not the smell of smoke, their hair was not singed, their clothes were not touched, and the form of the fourth was standing in there with them. Tell me that God has to remove saints to protect them. Now, not everybody in the days of Nebuchadnezzar could have gone into that fire and remained unscathed. But these three holy men could. Why? Because the holiness of God and the favor of God was on them. And he was going to show this worldly, wicked king, he was wicked at the time, that God is above all the natural things you can try to do to destroy them. So let me go on. Reserved by fire. Amen. The trying of our faith. Amen. The fiery trial of our faith is more precious than gold. When you are under trial, you're not in natural fire. Your soul is tried as by fire, by the circumstances of that you're going through. Amen? So, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We'll get back to that another day when we're talking about time. Amen? So, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Amen? I like that verse, because the bridegroom tarried. Why did he tarry? Because some of them said he's slack. He's not going to make it. He's not coming back. He's asleep somewhere. Okay? He doesn't know how to rise up. Well, we know he does. When the bride gets at his feet and covers his, you know, and he's stirred, and he says, "Who's there?" And she says, "Thy handmaiden is here. Throw the corner of thy mantle over me. Keep me and protect." Yes, he rose up in the night season. So the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not out looking for an opportunity to smite as many people as he can. That's not what he's looking for. Amen? He's looking to save us. So, but the day of the Lord. Now here we're talking about the day of the Lord. Amen? Will come as a thief in the night. What is this phrase called the day of the Lord? Is it a 24-hour period of time? Is it a day that begins at 12:01 a.m.? Is it a day that begins with the rising of the sun every day? No. The day of the Lord, you see, Peter just said, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So this day of the Lord, I'm not going to say it's 1,000 years, but we're talking about a specific day of trial and testing and judgment such as the world has not known before. The day of the Lord will come. See, in Peter's day it hadn't come yet. But he's saying it will come as a thief in the night. Now, a thief does not generally notify you the night that he's going to come and rob your house. He doesn't send you a notice. He doesn't send you an email or anything of the sort to tell you. Well, I suppose there are thieves that would do that to warn you because they know that they can overpower you, but the normal thief would not do that, okay? In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Do you realize what would happen if you took this phrase in a natural sense? The heavens passing away. First of all, are you going to imagine that the heavens, the throne of God, is going to pass away? No. You're not going to touch the throne of God, heaven, that place. You devil can't get near it. He got thrown out of there a long time ago. No, nothing man can do can touch that heaven. So what heaven is he talking about? Passing away. The heaven is a spiritual realm where we dwell and where we live. If the sky and all the oxygen that surrounds the earth suddenly passed away, all life would come to an end. If the earth were suddenly shrouded with nothing but carbon monoxide, all life would suddenly come to an end. No, the heavens passing away does not mean the natural, nor does it mean the throne of God. It means the spiritual realm where devils, demons, hell is being manifest in the souls of men on this earth. Carnal men, wicked men. That's going to pass away. All right? The heavens passing away, how does he say? With a great noise. Thunder. All of a sudden, boom, bang, it's gone. That fast, God can put it to an end. You know what? The parousia of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lord in the clouds, the shout of the archangel, all over with. Men running for cover, hiding from his face. What a day that will be. You see, the day of the Lord is going to last more than a day. We have, my definition of the day of the Lord is at least a 3.5-year period. But you know what? I think we may be in the fringes of the day of the Lord even now. And it's more than 3.5 years. So, pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Now, when we're talking about the elements melting with a fervent heat, you must understand that this word elements does not refer to what your teacher taught you in chemistry class, where they put the big chart up on the wall. Remember the chart of the elements. What did they call it? Larry, you're a chemist. What was it? Yeah. You remember it? Yeah, okay. The chart of the elements. And, you know, oxygen, helium, hydrogen, you know, sulfur. What is it? Periodic table. There you go. The periodic table. Amen. Of the elements. Okay? That is not what Peter is talking about. Peter is not talking about sulfur and copper and helium. No, he's not talking about that, that is going to melt with a fervent heat. Let me give you the Greek word here, the meaning of the Greek word of elements, okay? It's kind of an unusual word. It means, the Greek word is stoichion, 4747, and it comes from 4748, which is stoichio. And it means to conform to a line, to keep rank or step like a military march, orderly in arrangement, a serial of fundamental, elementary, and rudimentary. All right, apply that to the political realm, the social, cultural realm that we live in, where everything is lockstep. Think of a group of soldiers marching. Think of the pictures you might have seen of Hitler's soldiers marching, kicking their feet out in front of them. Hup, hup, right, hup, you know, or these pictures you see of the Chinese soldiers marching around Tiananmen Square, you know, in order. And this is a picture of the same thing of the control that these powers have over human beings. And this is the power that they want to exert because they don't have enough of it now. They want this power, and they're stretching this out with this COVID thing to get more and more control. They're not so concerned about saving lives. They would be glad to wipe out half the population with COVID. What they want more than anything else is control. This is the devil's doing. He's in charge of all this. He wants control. He wants your obedience. He wants you to be in lockstep in your thinking, in your mind, in the process of your life, that you will obey every carnal, willful, sinful instinct that comes your way. And he's getting people to do it. He's getting these young people, these teenagers, these gangs in cities, every wicked thought that they have. Let's go kill them. The other guys, shoot them, kill them. And these riots, these marches against government, rebellion rising up. He's okay with that. But he wants the believers to subjugate themselves to him. Rank and step. So when the Peter says that these elements of control are going to melt with a fervent heat. Whew! Just like that, the fire of God destroys that whole system. You know, brethren, we can fight against that system. You can march, you can join election campaigns and vote for Trump and vote for this one and vote for that one. He's not going to be our deliverer. Yes, I would much rather have him than the one we have now. But he is not our God. He is not our Jesus Christ. We need the coming of Jesus Christ in our land. Hallelujah. We need him to take over the politics of this world. We've got this man that Daniel brought our attention to, this man of the World Economic Council. What's his name? Klaus Schwab, a perfect candidate for the Antichrist. I'm not saying he's going to be the man of sin. I don't know. But he certainly got himself in a position where he could do it if his agenda is approved and if God releases and allows it to happen. I appreciate Daniel for putting us into that information. By the way, I sent some of you that link of the man from Ireland. If you didn't get it, ask me and I'll send it to you. The man from Ireland. Oh, what a good word he gave in that YouTube. Hallelujah! Really exposing the darkness. You know, yes, I'm glad to have the darkness exposed. But brethren, I cannot major in darkness. Amen? Darkness is only a proof of how much we need the light. And the revelation of darkness simply shows to me how urgent the time is in which we're living. How it's coming so fast. Faster than I could have imagined in this day and in this time. Hallelujah. So let me just go a little further here. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now here is proof right here that this verse is not talking about natural elements. It says the works are going to be burned up. Hello? The works are going to be burned up. How can you have a natural fire and burn up works? How can you have a fire and bring your hatred and your malice and your jealousy and your lust and your adultery and your fornication and your drunkenness and throw it all in a great big bonfire and have it all burned up? That's not natural, brethren. The burning up of the works of darkness, it has to be a spiritual act. The works So Peter's elements are spiritual conditions that are being destroyed by the fire of God. The judgment fire of God is going to bring it to an end. Let me just go on a little bit. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Dissolved. That word means to melt. It also means to loosen. Did you ever hear us pray for somebody and we're praying against the darkness and the demons and the need of deliverance, and we say, loose, loose, loose. This is Peter's word, melt. Melt off. Loose your hold. These things are going to be loosed. Seeing all these things shall be loosed, dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Conversation means lifestyle. The challenge to us believers is our lifestyle, our godliness. Not going on a campaign to change the politics. Jesus did not do anything against the politic world that he lived in. The disciples begged him to do it. Lord, when will you restore again Israel? He said, times are not for you to know. They wanted Rome out of there. They wanted the leaders. They wanted a different government. But he already demonstrated how corrupt their government would be if the priests had their way. There would be no righteousness. No, the religious order cannot take over. The churches cannot take over. The big evangelists cannot become the president. Can't happen. Looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire. The heavens being on fire. The spirit. Brethren, when you see those heavens, the spiritual realm of heavens, when you see the political realm, the thought realm, the mindset realm of this world on fire, hallelujah, being dissolved, the elements melting with a fervent heat, burning. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What is going to be the difference? Righteousness is going to rule. How are we going to rule and reign with Christ? Is he going to make me the chief of police? The general? To carry the guns? No. I will not rule with Christ with rods and whips and clubs and weapons of natural. No. We will rule in righteousness, because righteousness will prevail upon the earth. And when righteousness prevails, there is no place for unrighteousness, because it is stronger and more powerful. This is why we need Jesus Christ, his kingdom. We need the head over the body, brethren. Hallelujah. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brethren Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Amen. I think that's far enough for today. So, we can comment on that as well.